702.
WhatsApp Refilwe.
On 072 702 1702.
So at this time of the program, this time of the morning, we talk matters of fitness, of wellness, everything related to your physical health, and of course all the things that are well within your control and your ambit of regulation. Today's guest is South Africa's first black free driving instructor, and she has such a compelling mission, but most importantly, such a compelling story. Zandile Ndlovu became South Africa's first black African free driving instructor a few years ago. And she says she felt a responsibility to make the ocean a more inclusive space. She then went on to create the Black Mermaid Foundation, titled after herself given name, with the intention of getting more black people into the sea, into the ocean. And of course, the story is one, Zandile's story is one of going away on holiday, right? Leaving South Africa, in fact, going away on holiday and having her first real connection or profound connection with the ocean, with the water. And it did have, as I said, a profound impact on how she, you know, how she viewed the water, how she viewed the ocean. And of course, what she would then go on to do, which is establish this Black Mermaid Foundation. Joining me to talk about finding passions, turning passions into a mission, just really proselytizing the joys of the open water. Zandile Ndlovu, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Sidia. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
It's such a pleasure to have you on, Zandile. When I read an article about your journey, I think it was Fair Lady magazine, if I remember correctly, I really was struck by how the fact that you fell in love with water, with the ocean in your late 20s. You had to leave South Africa. Well, no, you didn't have to, but you were on holiday. So you'd left our shores, you'd left this beautiful country with its own amazing coastline and waters, etc. And there you were on holiday. I imagine you weren't expecting this kind of encounter, but you fell in love with the water, specifically the ocean, and of course you had your first encounter with free diving. Just give us a sense, up until this point, up until when you go on holiday and you were in Thailand, if I remember correctly, what had been your relationship to or experience of the open water, perhaps even just swimming in general?
Oh, my word. So I often say that it's been such an interesting relationship because, you know, growing up, we're not taught how to swim. So I was no massive swimmer. I did not get, like, swimming lessons. If anything, I drowned in grade 6. You know, so we all have that horrible memory that attaches to water. And so for me, it was finding my way from there. What does it mean to learn how to swim? Mm. You know, my sister and I joining the swimming team, and we were always the last people who, like, would finish.
Yeah.
And we were the only black people on the team. But again, it was a place that said, you know, maybe we could do this, but were we doing it? I don't think so much, you know. Mm. But I think there's just always been I've been drawn to water. I mean, there's endless stories that I could tell, but for me, it was a new experience and a new encounter that I didn't even know existed. I always knew that I wanted to snorkel, and it just had never happened. And so I snorkeled. We're in Bali, actually.
Oh, Bali, my bad. Yeah,
I was in Bali. Yeah, and I remember being so far out to sea and thinking, you know, there were panics as well in between as the boat left shore, and you're thinking, so what happens if your thing turns around, like turns over?
Sure.
So there's just so many, there's so many challenges that you kind of go through as an individual, as traveling in the water space.
Yeah. It's interesting. You talk about the fact that here you are at school. There are clearly there's PE, there's a pool, there's swimming. You are swimming with other kids. You're on this, you know, and you're saying you're coming last in these, you know, in these swim meets and these swim races. And there's a part of me that thinks, ugh, sometimes, you know, just the failure of education with kids or the educational environment sometimes where the kids are there, you know, the apparatus, the systems, the tools are all there, but no one's taking that added step or that extra step to go, okay, here's some girls who are eager to swim. let's just do some stroke correction. Let's just do one or two extra swimming lessons. Let's do something. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. In many ways, perhaps it's, actually it is part of this conversation, but you know, the education system at large is a conversation for another day. So you go on holiday and you have this unexpected encounter with snorkeling, or rather the impact that snorkeling has on you. Mm. When you finally make it out to sea, as you say, it's scary as the boat launches. You wonder what would happen if the boat capsizes. What do you see when you finally are in open water and you've reached your snorkeling destination? Tell me about that impact or that moment.
That is actually crazy, right? So number one, we need to have the discussion that as I jumped off the boat, I went on into a full panic. I'm drowning. And everyone's like, it's physically impossible to drown. And I'm like, I said I'm drowning. So it was just wild. And as this panic passes, I will never forget the moment of just thinking like, what the hell is going on? There was this beautiful blue everywhere. It felt like the bottom of the ocean floor was lit up. It felt like it was on the most beautiful stage, and it was lit up, and the, you know, these sun rays are just landing beautifully on it. There's these yellow fish, there's moray eels that just look, and you know, I always say moray eels look scary, but they're some of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen. And I just remember thinking, what the hell is going on? All these different species of fish, everybody's living together, right? So for me, I think what the ocean was in that first encounter is how I've always believed our lives should be like. But we're all different, but we're all just living this life beautifully, you know? And there's just space for all of us, and we can look all kinds of different, and it's okay. And that moment for me just took me straight to church. It was life-changing.
Mm. That's really beautiful. Thanks for that lovely description. So how do you come to free diving? And just give us a sense of what free diving entails for the control freaks that are listening to Weekend Breakfast. As chairperson of the organization, the association, I want something. I need a backup. If this doesn't work, I've got my oxygen tank, I've got my whatever it is, I need a contingency plan. Just give us a sense of how free diving works and why this for you was the ultimate expression or furthering of that spiritual connection that first happened when you first went snorkeling.
Yeah, so to begin, free diving is when you hold your breath and you go to depth. And sometimes it's depth, but sometimes it's distance.
Okay.
And so when you start competing, there are different disciplines within freediving. But the whole idea is you take a whole big breath and it's your lungs that travel with you. So unlike scuba diving where you've got a tank of air that you're breathing the whole time and you're exploring, on freediving you just travel on one breath, and it's the most incredible thing. So what happens on the snorkel trip is you go from the first dive spot to the second dive spot, and our dive guide keeps on like diving to the bottom and just bringing up these incredibly beautiful shells. They are big, they are shiny, they are perfection. And between one of his many dives, I follow him under there. Mm-hmm. And I must have held my breath for maybe only 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was home. I felt like I was home in a way that I had never felt home before. And so it was then coming back into the country and chasing that feeling, saying, what was that? Mm-hmm. I need more of it. And everyone says, oh, no, scuba diving. Of course, you have to do scuba diving. And I start going on course for scuba diving, and I get, you know, certified to the gods. And it was always just so incredibly beautiful and silent. And, you know, it's just time to explore in ways unimagined. You are breathing underwater. Like, it's trippy.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, what's that feeling that I felt in 2016? Like, what is that? And I remember then I had a friend who was going through his instructors for scuba diving. And I then found out that there was a freediving instructor in the country, whereas I found freediving through Instagram.
Okay.
I kept on seeing these girls. There's this video. These girls are diving, but there's no tanks. I was like, what witchery is this? What is this daylight witchery? Like, somebody tell us. And I obviously Google, and Google says it's freediving. And then a few months later, 6-7 months later, I come across South Africa's only freediving instructor then, Rian. And I had to sign up. And I just remember from the first moment, you know, he took us out into the sea, I was like, there it is. There's that feeling of home. And it was insane. And I think what makes freediving more incredible is that it's that one breath, it's that one currency, it's that ultimate release, that one breath that you hold as life allows you to see differently. It allows you to be present. It allows you to recognize that all that matters is the here and now. Because if you panic when you need to get back to the top, we don't make the greatest decisions when you panic or when we're afraid. And freediving just allows you the journey to release and to let go and to be with the moment. Not what was, not what will be, but just the now. It's so powerful.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely beautiful. So you established the Black Mermaid Foundation, and as you say, your journey to becoming South Africa's first black female freediving instructor starts with you finding the person who then trained you. It says only freediving instructor, Rian. And your journey to establishing the Black Mermaid Foundation, why was it important for you to do that? I'll put in my little 2 cents worth. Quite often people say things like, but you know, black people don't swim. As though we chose not to, or as though we corralled ourselves into townships. And we were no, keep the land, keep the oceans, keep the rivers. We'll just be here on these arid pieces of land. So I can only imagine the kinds of perhaps mental and other, you know, constructed barriers that you had to break down or break through in the work that you're doing. But fundamentally, the vision, the mission for Black Mermaid Foundation.
So the vision for the Black Mermaid Foundation is to create diverse representation in the ocean arena because it is ghastly and diverse, right? So how do I get to doing this work? It was first realizing how I was always the only black person who was a guest on the boat for years. And there's always those microaggressions that go with that, right? Black people don't swim. Oh, what are you doing here? And I'm like, wait, what are you doing here? You know, are you going to dive with all of that hair? Oh, my word. You know, it's your body. It is language where everyone is speaking, not English. Everyone's, you know, speaking Afrikaans and different, but I paid the same amount to be here. So it's all these little triggers along the way. And I said, what does it mean to create a safe space for black bodies to explore these waters? The way in which we arrive often in undiverse spaces is it also fills with so much assumptions, right? So you're taught with an expectation that there's a departure point that everyone must know.
Okay.
And I'm saying, but we don't know what we don't know. And so what does it mean to hold space for that travel, for that journey, for the fear of the stories that we all grow up with as black people? And so for me, I just knew that I'm able to hold the next level of space for the safety of exploration because we all grow up with the same stories about what lives in these oceans. And we are all so disconnected that there's a deeper fear that we first need to go through, but there's also a healing that we need to go through. And so I just wanted to create that space. But ultimately it said, what does it mean to create a future where the oceans look like us as well, where black bodies are normalized in these waters and these incomplete narratives fail to exist in society? And I knew that if we work with schools, that's the ultimate change point, right? So if I get to the grade 8 and 9, then maybe when they get to grade 10 and they're doing their subject choices, this ocean is no longer foreign. But perhaps it's a part that could belong to them as well. And that's how the dream started. And I just, for me to, you know, focus on local ocean-facing communities, focus on, you know, when in Joburg, what does it mean to help the kids in Joburg schools to understand that they can also make a change. We don't all need to be close to the ocean to be connected to it, to be protecting it as a resource that should be inherited by the generations to come. How do we educate sufficiently to ensure that the protection of these oceans means that at the end of our generation we have something to hand down? There's just so much. It's loaded. But I just knew that my heart wanted to create a safe space for exploration, but ultimately create the world that I want to live in, where there's diverse representation, where black people are not like, oh, what are you doing here? And from the black space, it's not, why do you do white people things? Because nothing is a white people thing. Nothing.
Zandile Ndlovu.
It's a question of access.
Yeah, it is a question of access. And of course, your passion and your energy is really, really, really beautiful to witness. I really thank you for your time this morning and wish you all the best on your mission and on your work as the founder of Black Mermaid Foundation. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.